Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, everyone. I'm with my beautiful co-host, Dennis Gaither. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, Cornelia. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
It's great to be with you. I'm really excited for today's show because I know that you always have fantastic exercises and deep discussions and tools that help us to navigate our daily life. So today we're going to talk about believing is seeing and seeing beneath the surface.
Right.
Right.
That's right. So seeing beneath the surface, seeing a little bit beyond what our body eyes can typically show us.
That's exciting. That's exciting because being able to tap into the other ways of seeing is what we're going to talk about.
Is what we're going to talk about. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, a little bit about that. Well, I want to just tell you a couple of little anecdotes here.
Sure.
About experiences. These are all that I've had within the last 48 hours.
Oh, good.
Just coming from the ordinary life experiences. Three different ones, actually. But the first one actually occurred yesterday when I was out hiking. And I'm hiking through this beautiful forest, and I'm just loving being out in the trees. And I always enjoy the beauty of it and the loveliness of being in this part of the world. But I decided I just pause for a moment and just to kind of just see if what else is here. And that really is a matter of mindfulness and willingness. But I just paused with amongst the ferns and the trees and just took a few breaths and being open to whatever else might come to me, closing my eyes for a moment and then opening them, and open to also the possibility of nothing else. That's fine too. But I started to get a sense of just the friendliness of the forest that I was in and the sense of feeling held by it. So it was more than just the physical beauty, but there was a feeling of being held there by it in a very friendly way. And as I continued then to walk, continuing with that place, then there was a sense of just of feeling held within the forest. There was sort of like a sense of being held within, not so much by it, but with it. So it took me to a very deep place on that hike. And then towards the end of the trip of that time walking in the forest, almost back to the car, there's a chill there in the air. And not bad, just a little bit, but I might have been tempted to put a jacket on, but I didn't have far to go. I decided I'm just going to be with the chill, with the coldness. And so as I just took a breath and took that in, I started to get a sense of some really big primal energy, kind of a really earthy kind of primalness about the cold that felt absolutely wonderful. Reminded me of similar experiences years ago when I lived in Alaska, where it was a lot colder. similar kind of things. But the third one is really the kind of example that I want to spend the most time with, which is it involves another person. Mm-hmm. And seeing another person differently is can often be the most transformative and can be the most challenging. And the reason is because we tend to project ourselves onto the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do that a lot more than we're aware of. And we create our whole interpersonal world that way. We make our world. Yeah. But this was a situation, someone that I'd had a long relationship with. And basically, I would say that I hold this person in high regard and respect. But we also have some business dealings together, and we got a little triggered with there was a little got a little triggered there, a little misunderstanding, and it came across as an exchange of emails. And if there's a good way to get a misunderstanding, it's to do things by email, I find. But I, at one point in this, I sent off a fairly curt sort of reply, and then really had a sense of, well, that's not helpful. So again, the practice, take a breath. Willingness, willing to see this person, this situation in a different way, and to see myself in it differently. So it starts there. There's an inner spaciousness inside, a willingness to be present with, there's a, what am I noticing here in myself? Well, a little, okay, a little annoyance, maybe a little frustration, maybe a little sadness. And so just being, just turning, rather than turning away from that, is just to turn towards it. And noticing where it is, where I experience it in my, in or around the body. Being kind of curious. Kind of letting it show me whatever it wants to show me. Noticing that there's a familiar quality to that feeling. Letting it show me, for example, times when I was very young and felt really misunderstood and just, they just didn't get it. And some, you know, and some thoughts that I might have created about myself about not being worth listening to. So those all sort of arose here in just a very short time, because I've done this before, and could then be present with that younger child here and talk to him a little bit. And then what happens then is that the whole perception of this person in the situation then takes on the much larger context of appreciation. And I feel relaxed. I could send off an email with a brief apology and then much clarification, and it was trivial to work out.
Oh my gosh, that sounds beautiful.
So
that sounds beautiful when you can bring that level of consciousness, that level of awareness to that experience that you're in.
Right.
And that you can, you know, be with it while you're compassionately observing your own inner child or, you know, whatever part was triggered, and you're being that inner parent.
Yes.
And then you were able to, you know, observe it all, be with it all. It almost feels like love was doing its thing. What love?
Oh, that's a wonderful way of putting it. I thank you. That's a great way to put it, Cornelia. Because basically, when I or we surrender into that place of willingness, really, it's love that's there. The more that we can let go of all the things that are blocking our awareness of it. But some of the things were, you know, first of all, is about noticing what it is. Moshe Feldenkrais had this lovely quote, which is something to the effect of, in order to do what you want to do, you have to know what it is you're doing. In order to perceive things the way I want to, I have to look at how it is I'm doing it right now. And so I get to look at how I'm perceiving any of those situations and then being willing to have some space around them, creating some spaciousness around it. So when I'm talking about seeing here in this conversation, I want to be clear, I'm talking about all of our perceptions here.
Yeah.
So it could be about how we're hearing things, how we're feeling things that are touching us. A touch can be either felt as nourishing or threatening, depending on what it means to us. And I'm also talking about the inner images that we have in our minds about people and situations. We have kind of like inner pictures. And that was in this engagement that I talked about with this person, it was the inner picture of both of us that really shifted and that I could see differently. So.
And was that because you shifted it on your end? So this is a curious question.
Okay, it's a great question. And I shifted it on my end, but that, so when I let go of something, if I could have held that, I would have been adding fuel to the fire. And maybe she would have been the one who doused the flames in some way. She would have had the awareness to do that. But by letting go of something in me, doing some healing with something that was in me that was aroused, it then became really easy to resolve that with the other person. But I started it on my end in that case. but it doesn't always go that way.
No, it doesn't always go that way, but it feels to me like you took 100% responsibility for what was in your reality.
I took 100% responsibility for my reaction, yes. Not for the other person's reaction, but I took, except acknowledging my reaction may have fed the other person's reaction, but I took 100% responsibility. This is about me. My upset's about me.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right. So, and ultimately, the upset's about the meaning that I'm giving the situation here. I'm not being listened to. I'm not being heard. So I'm reacting according to that. And that's one of the things that actually really gets in the way of our actually seeing beneath the surface of things, is that we're not really seeing the situation or the person. I'm going to focus more on the person, really, the situations that come up with other people. Because we've learned from, we have these things we call minds that are meaning-making entities. They do it all the time, and they do it pretty automatically and pretty unconsciously for the most part. And unless we bring those to awareness, it tends not to change. They can be changed if we're willing to bring them to awareness. And that's where the mindfulness and the willingness comes in.
Yeah. And would you say, too, that it is the trigger, the part that's triggered or that's feeling, you know, that's feeling, is that part of the ego?
Totally. Totally. That our, you know, our true self, our higher self, there's no need for it to get triggered. It has nothing to defend. That ego self is just a way of thinking in which I see myself as separate. And it really, that part of all of us, it really wants to keep this separation thing going, and it will find reason to have grievances or other things. Or even within ourselves, we may have one little kid part that's 4 years old that feels like nobody listens to him, and another part that says, hey, be quiet. So even within ourselves, we're kind of divided, but that's all part of the ego.
Yeah.
Stepping back though, and I want to say a little bit about willingness here too, what I mean by that, because it's really just stepping back into a place of spaciousness and allowing. It's not the kind of willingness that we sometimes think of as in a context of, you know, gee, I'm willing to do this thing that you want me to do that I don't want to do. Outer compliance. That's not what I'm talking about here. That kind of willingness, using the same word but in a very different way, can feel pretty burdensome and pretty restrictive. And it's a reflection of not having an inner sense of willingness. It's not having a sense of whatever the core beliefs of I have to do everything somebody says, being willing to look at that, or maybe that this would be something I actually might want to. There's many possibilities that could come around. I'm talking about an inner quality of spaciousness. I experience it as kind of an open-hearted. There's a space inside. There's room for other possibilities there, and it's not simply a cognitive shifting where I'm going to change it from this to this, but it's more of a kind of a letting something else come in to that inner space.
And it's because you're willing, and it's because you were willing that that opens that space for that to happen.
Yes.
So, right? So that you could have an opening, a different experience in relationship to what it is that you're in relationship with, right?
Right. Right. Even a little bit of willingness. It doesn't have to be a complete willingness. If there's just a little bit, that higher self, I call it spirit, it will actually work with whatever we give it, really. So if we had complete willingness about things, we'd all be enlightened saints. But we're human beings. We're working on stuff. So there may be some shadows around it. But if there's a little bit of willingness, like I can entertain even a possibility. Even a little hint, even a little possibility that there might be another way of seeing this. That's enough, actually.
That is, and just being open to it, like you said, there, it's like having that opening, that willingness where you're not ready to fire back, but you're ready, you're just ready to take that step back and be willing. That it's just, even if it's just a little bit, like you said, right?
Right.
Yeah. So Dennis, why don't we go on a break and then come back, and then we'll carry on and continue on. And then maybe when we get back, you'll share that beautiful quote that we didn't share when we opened today. So
Well, we can do that. There's many. Okay, cool. We can do that.
Yeah. Sure. We'll be right back. Thanks.
All right. Very good. Yeah.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Part of life is the aromas and delights of our sensuality. Hummingbird Jewel shares her secret formula and her signature fragrance oil, Julia. This fragrance oil can be used in a variety of ways, such as scenting your laundry, car, or closet. The oils come in roll-ons for convenience. If you prefer a perfume bottle, we can package them together, elegantly wrapped for gift-giving. If you're interested, contact me at hummingbird-jewel.com.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L, on the Tracy L Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
During the break, Dennis, you were talking about the willingness to see others differently, or is also the willingness to see ourselves differently.
Totally. And the reason for that is that what I'm seeing in the other is a reflection of what's in me. And in particular, the upsets that we have with each other is the projection of something that we've judged against in myself onto the other. And if I am willing to see them differently, to see beyond whatever the behavior is, then I'm seeing myself differently. And that incident, that little anecdote that I was describing there, what it really was about was seeing myself differently, seeing myself as not the little kid who's nobody's listening to, but actually seeing myself as actually someone worth listening to.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, it's a good thing to do right before doing a talk on a program here, right?
Totally.
So, you know, as I see myself differently, I see others differently. But as I see others differently, I see myself differently. And there's the healing.
Yeah.
You mentioned the ego in our last little segment there. And of course, the ego, it's just a way of thinking. We personify it as if it's a thing, but it's actually just a way of thinking that allows us to have this experience of separation. And it wants to keep that going. And one of the ways that it does that is by projecting the sense of unworthiness or guilt onto others. And then I get to, if I project that onto someone else, I see myself as separate from them, and well, just a little bit better too, by golly. And so it kind of keeps this thing going. But when we actually are willing to come to a place of willingness around it, that higher self, spirit, can actually use the exact same thing to help us awaken, to help us heal something, to become aware of, that was something I had judged against in myself, like unconscious guilt. So with the willingness is there, when the willingness is to turn inside, within, and not from a place of a critical judgment, but to turn gently from a place of curiosity, compassion. But I remember in my journey with A Course in Miracles, one of the things that really was transformative to me was that discovery that I could come to a place of willingness inside and work with something that was in me, and then it would become like trivial to get, or not trivial, but much easier to resolve something with someone else. That was some years ago, but just very recently, I encountered a poem by one of my favorite poets, M. Clare. And she's only written two books of poetry. I wish she would write more. But this one is called Willingness.
Uh-huh.
And I want to read this to you. We can become lighter and lighter. We can pull from the soundless sound. We can sit completely still in movement. We can open every cell as wide as it can open. How, you say? And I dare say, by willingness first. Then faith in the unbelievable. By perseverance beyond your idea of it. Then layer by layer upon layer of patience. Now grace moves through unannounced. Now the unimaginable, miracles, then darkness, the womb, gestation, birth, then light, and then willingness again. It's just a cycle that we all go through. And willingness is like, it just kind of allows this cycle to move, to unfold, to go where it needs to go.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's a beautiful poem, and it's a beautiful reminder of when we're willing and when we're willing to experience something greater, something easier, something more miraculous, it's happening. It's there. Right.
Beautiful. That's actually really a good, because there's the willingness to let go of our way of seeing, but then that creates a space where there's a willingness to actually receive something else in its place. We could do there's actually a little exercise we could do here.
Let's do it. I love that.
Let's do that. And so this is one, I'm just going to describe that one. We have another one we can do in a few moments that we can actually do together.
Yeah.
This is one that I use often, and I share this with people that I work with as well. But first of all, I'm never upset for the reason I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that the reason that I think I'm upset because somebody did something or failed to do something that I was expecting. But in fact, I'm upset because of the meaning I'm giving it. And so this is a little process of, first of all, noticing the upset, being present to it, and not without denying it, and just and then I actually will actually kind of offer it as a little. I like to offer it as a little prayer to the universe or to whatever. I'll personify it in some way to whatever, or just as a spaciousness or openness, but of just a being, I'm willing to see this differently. And there's an abiding faith that there's something in me that is within all of us that can see this from a loving perspective. I'm willing to see this as you see it, with love. Mm-hmm. And then actually wait inside until I can actually feel it. I will actually internally imagine myself offering up as if I'm giving away a precious gift to someone I love, because in some way, if I've been holding on to it, there's some part of me that is kind of attached. And if there's a reluctance about that, I may just be present with the attachment. Just be aware of just noticing there's part of me that doesn't want to let loose of this. So it's not fighting with it, just noticing it, being present with it. And then inviting something else to come in. Just inviting, and it might be a different way of seeing, a different awareness, a different perception. And then in some way, finding some way to put that into some kind of interpersonal action. And it might be in a conversation or an apology or a kind act. There are many different ways, but it's a practice I found really useful. And it shifts my perception of the situation, of the person, how I'm seeing them, how I see myself.
Do you know, like one of the things that really stood out for me when you were talking is you said that, oh gosh, I just lost it. Oh.
It's okay.
Gosh, it was so good. Oh, it had to do with the willingness to see something different, because there are times when we don't want to see it different.
That's right.
That's the thing. I found that recently when I was doing some forgiveness work, and I found that there was a part of me still that didn't really want to forgive this person.
Beautiful.
Didn't want to forgive the person. I wanted to be mad.
Right. And what I have found is trying to fight that is not that helpful. It actually works better just to see if there's a part of me that doesn't want to, and turn to that.
Yes.
Turn to the attachment, turn to that I don't want to, and be kind of be curious about that, not necessarily forcing it.
Yes.
Whatever the part that doesn't want to right now, it has its own perception of things, why it would be threatening, for example, and turning toward it in curiosity and some compassion and kind of talking with it a little bit. What is it you're afraid would happen if I see this person differently, which is the same thing as actually being willing to forgive them? And so the resistances are part of our protectors inside, and it is unhelpful to try to push past those inner protectors.
It is. And you know what I actually found with this is that this was more for me, it was more of a habit of mm-hmm. like, this is something that I've always done. It reminded me back of this stoic German being, that stoicness and it was a habit of doing that. And I realized, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that. I want to soften that stoicness, right? I want to soften.
Right. And so what I've got kind of parts like that in myself there, and actually kind of turning towards that part of me and appreciating it. It's gotten me through some difficult times.
Protected, right?
It's protective, and actually feeling some appreciation for it. Those aspects tend to calm down when we do that. And find out, what are you afraid would happen? I'm talking to myself now.
Yeah.
Not to you. What am I afraid? What is that part of me afraid would happen if it actually did step back? What is it? What is its fear of what would happen if it did step back?
That's a really good question. And it would probably leave me speechless.
Well, it might. For me, what I've noticed is that the ones that are the hardest for me is the more I've got some sense of identity with them. The more I've created a sense of, this is Dennis, this is who he is. Those are the hardest ones. Not because they're really harder. They aren't really, but they will seem harder because there's a little bit more fear around them.
Yeah.
There's going to be more fear. One of the things that is that we can't really truly let go of something if we think that's what we are. And so that's why this process of awakening to who we really are is a gradual one, because we do that a little bit at a time. We let go of a little something, and then we get a little glimpse of something bigger. We're not this little smaller self. We're something that's much more encompassing. And the part of me that says, oh, I'm a Dennis, is kind of afraid of this much bigger thing here, because there's anything really to be afraid of, but because of what it projects onto it. So actually what creates the sense of safety and spaciousness to let go is actually turning in compassion and curiosity and saying, okay, it's okay. But with each of those, that's what one of the things I love about forgiveness practices or shifting perceptions is, one is we get a little sense of peace with it. There's something that was relieved. I felt so relieved after working with my stuff with my friend. But with each of those, we get a sense of who we are that's not this little personality self. That little personality sense of self-concept of who we think we are, that's very vulnerable. It can be buffeted around and smashed, and all kinds of things can happen to it. I'm not the only one here, but there's a sense of there's something more abiding inside. I experience that as I experience it as less and less of just an individual thing. I mean, I have a sense of, like, in the forest there, it's like I'm in this forest, and the forest is evoking a sense of holding inside, being held inside, that I'm sharing with the forest. But it started with just being willing to see the forest differently, and then just went deeper.
Yeah, and then the forest holding you, but at the same time, you holding the forest within you.
Also. That's right. That's right.
Becoming one with it.
Exactly. Not just as an intellectual concept, but actually feeling it.
Being in the experience. Yeah.
So the forms. Experience. You know, so the leaves and the forms in the forest looked the same, but there was a certain radiance of the heart that I experienced with them. And so the part of the perception there of seeing differently was kind of seeing something that the body's eyes alone don't see.
Yeah.
But when I'm attuned to that, my body's eyes will pick up reflections of that. It will pick up little things that I might not have noticed before. Oh, that's really, that little speck of light right there on that little railing as I walked across a wooden bridge, things like that.
Yeah. And that's what you're talking about seeing deeply, because we're talking about seeing the present moment, whatever the experience is, being able to see deeper with your experience, but then also it with people, right? So both.
So Cornelia, I've got a lovely exercise we can do, but I want to check with you, with your timekeeper here a little bit, because it is kind of a, we need a little bit of time to do that. So
looks like we have 10 minutes before we skip this break.
We skip one break. Okay. Is there flexibility about the timing for the next break?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, there is. Okay, cool. All right. So, all righty. So this is a lovely practice that I want to share. And it is one that, it actually comes from a wonderful teacher that I've had named Ron Kurtz, and we use it in Hakomi work, and so I want to really acknowledge that source, and it's called True Colors. And it's a wonderful practice about seeing differently, deeply. And it's one you and I can do here because we have visual contact on our screens. I'll say a little bit before we start here, though, that because of the time frame that we're in, I'm going to pace it a little bit faster than I normally would. But if for people who are either listening or watching the video later want to do it, which I think is a wonderful one to do, but you'll want to do it a little bit more slowly than what I'll be pacing right now. So Cornelia, the way this one starts here is that we're just sitting here being with each other and appreciating one another. And it starts by just seeing the other person much the same way an artist might. An appreciative artist with their subject. And it starts with just noticing the colors in the face. Just kind of paying attention. The colors in the face includes the hair and any clothing that might be in the vicinity, or earrings or jewelry, anything that might be around. So I'm going to just be quiet for a moment. And we'll just spend some time just noticing all the little nuances of color, the little shadings in the face. And then we'll do another level. So we'll do that for a moment. Nice. So as I'm doing that, I'm just noticing all the nuances and richness of the color of your hair, of the face, of your clothing. So the next time, for the next part of this, though, we're going to take the appreciating just a little bit deeper here. Now starting to notice a little bit of the structures, the bony structures, the muscles, the things that give the face its shape, its form. So we're just going to pay attention to that for a little while. Noticing textures, lines in the skin, whatever's there, expressions, whatever happens to be there, it's all welcome here. And as we do that, we may begin to notice something a little deeper. We may start to have a sense as we open our intuition a little bit and our sensing a little bit, we might start to get a sense of who this person is. We might get a sense of, for example, the burdens they've carried, the cares they've had in their lives, or the joys and the delights. We might just get maybe little hints or little suggestions, or maybe just a sense of it in some way. Just open to whatever's there, not forcing anything. And we might start to just get a sense of something about their character, something about who they might be as a partner, as a spouse, as a parent, or as a child, or as a coworker, or as a friend. Little something there. Just taking that in and just appreciating it, receiving it, whatever comes. Nothing needs to be forced. Maybe there's a little sparkle from the child, or a little playfulness, or a little delight, or a little sadness, or a little worry, whatever's there. Just let it be. Maybe a little gratitude, gratefulness. And then we go just a little bit further And it, sometimes it helps to close the eyes for a moment and then open them. But see if you can just notice or experience something really deeply essential about this person that you're with. Maybe even something that might surprise you. Something you might not have even noticed before. When you're ready, you can just open your eyes and just notice whatever it is that you notice with this other person. And when you're ready, just kind of notice whatever was nourishing or in the experience with you, and you can share a moment with the other person. If you're doing this now, or if you listen to the recording and do it later. So even though I was guiding this and doing it at the same time, it really feels like I've really settled in with you here. And that feels really quite wonderful. I was having a delight as I just watched the play of light and just the little nuances of expression. They were like, it was kind of fun. I just wanted to smile. So, and also appreciating there was also a call to mind the friendship we've had over some period of time, and a really deep appreciation for that. Yeah. And so the sharing is not so much about what we may have seen there so much as what was our experience doing this with them.
So my experience was such a tenderness and such a specialness in our exchange. That's what was the gratitude I was feeling. And at first, when we first started, I was noticing the energy was rosy. Rosy is what I saw, rosy. And after a while, I felt like we merged so much to where we were beyond form. It was beyond form. Mm-hmm. So like all of a sudden, you know, like your hair was gone. the hair was gone. And the only thing I could really see left was the glasses and the face, the rosiness. But, it's like the form was. And at the same time, it was feeling so safe, so nurturing, so loving. And like I said, a tenderness and a specialness for our friendship, who we are.
Yes.
Who you are.
Who you are, who we are, yes. So I experienced as I was being with you, there were so many things, but there was a playfulness. There was this little bit of playfulness that kind of popped through there. There was a stillness that came, kind of a stillness that I could feel as we kind of got deeper and deeper into this. And that evoked a sense of stillness inside me. We were sort of going there together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So this is a practice that is offered both as something Cornelia and I get to do, but maybe if you're listening or watching, it's one you might enjoy doing with another person especially. But one could do it in front of a mirror. I've never done it that way. I've always done it with another person. And it's always been a rich experience of seeing more deeply.
Well, I would recommend that turn off the TV and take your person in the household, whoever it is, your son, your daughter, your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and take some time to have this experience. Because I almost felt like I was really honing in and focusing and seeing you with my third eye.
That's what happens, yes.
Yeah?
Awesome.
That's what I was seeing you, seeing more deeply. I mean, this stage is set.
Beautiful. And there were no words. It was just a quiet being presence with. And starting just as the appreciative artist, and then going deeper with, yeah, the, with the mindfulness and the willingness.
Yes. Dennis, let's take our last break. Is it okay now to take
a break? Absolutely. This is a good time.
Great, Kat. Let's take a break. We'll be right back on the Cornelia Stephanie Show with Dennis Gaither.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Do you need a spiritual makeover or perhaps just a mental tune-up to optimize your life trajectory? Julia has over 45 years of wisdom to share with you, and she offers counsel by the hour where you can choose from a menu of her services and receive both consults and or product. Julia went from being a maid to having it made, and you can too. If you're interested, contact me at www.hummingbird-jewel.com.
Have you lost a loved one and would desperately love a sign to prove that they are okay? Here's a tip for you. Be curious. Keep an open mind about everything. The proof will come from the most unlikely places. The messages promise to challenge your current beliefs and what you've been taught. Accept and appreciate all, no matter where they come from. I'm Angie Corbett Kuiper. I would love for you to share your signs from beyond on my closed Facebook page, Beyond Grief.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome back to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I was speaking with Dennis during the break, and we were talking about that we really want to open it up to our beloved audience to call us on the show, and also to be part of our live studio audience, which is what we're going to be doing coming up. So Dennis is usually on, the second Saturday?
Second
Friday of the month. So put it on your calendar. Put it on your calendar because I know there's many of you that love listening to Dennis and I together. And so put it on your calendar and put this telephone number down, 1-800-930-2819. That would be one way for you to be part of our experience here. But also, if you want to be part of our live studio audience, then you can request a ticket, and I will get you a ticket so that you can be with us on the back end in the studio audience. And this this is something that we're going to be rolling out, we invite you to join us. So if you would like to do that, then feel free to message me on Facebook at Cornelia Stephanie, or send me an email at radio@corneliastephanie.com, or contact Dennis, and we will get you a ticket. We'll get you a link to be part of our back studio audience. And very soon there will be a link that we can send you to, but we're putting this together now. We always have the 1-800 number, 1-800-930-2819. Call up on the second Friday to speak with Dennis at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So what a fantastic show today. What do we want to, do we want to recap and let the audience know?
Sure.
What it's about? Yeah.
It would be great. I want to also, though, just acknowledge your just how you are bringing all these things together and creating an audience. And it's actually lovely, actually wonderful.
Thanks, Dennis. I'm excited about it too, because, you know, we want to interact with the audience, don't we?
I do. That would be great. I would invite people to do that.
Don't you want that? So I we're setting the stage now to have more interaction on the back end, so they can be with us in the live studio audience right here, or they can call us. But we want connection. We want interaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So some recaps, a few takeaways here.
Sure.
One of them, not surprising, because it was a major theme here, is just how very transformative just coming to a place of willingness inside can be. There's that inner spaciousness that really healing can happen there. It's a place inside where we can bring that larger self that we really are into relationship with all these other. Little basement children aspects of ourselves that are in need of healing. Because really the healing is about bringing our own true self into relationship with ourselves. And so willingness is the opener for that. And the other part of what, I didn't mention it too much, but what really opens the door is just the sense of gratitude or gratefulness. Gratefulness.
Yeah.
It's the bridge that opens it often. That there's space here. Now I can start to receive something. It helps for me personally when there's some unwillingness to receive or reluctance. Gratefulness, lovely practice. It's also very empowering when we start to really see that we can choose our way of seeing, our way of perceiving a situation, our way of experiencing it, because we don't really see ourselves that way most of the time. We tend to more see ourselves as kind of acted upon by outer events, not of our choosing. And maybe on one level of experience, we may be. But in terms of our own inner experience, what we can always choose is what is our relationship to whatever is going on. And that will be very much how I see myself, how we see ourselves in that situation. And that really has a way of being willing to see ourselves differently by seeing the situation and the people in it differently. So that's really an important takeaway. And then just learning to see naturally what's there beyond the surface appearances, beyond all the things that I've projected. What is there beyond all those veils is really something wondrous before us. It's the what we in different traditions we might call it just seeing the namaste presence.
Oh yeah.
Or the divine self, or the Christ presence. But as we let ourselves see that in one another, we experience it in ourselves, and as we experience it in ourselves, we see it in each other.
Yes.
Yeah. So it can go actually, the level of healing can go way beyond just simply helping us with our day-to-day upsets. Each of those is a step towards awakening to a place of where we really are. That's what some traditions we call the peace that surpasses understanding, the peace of God.
Yeah, and so with this, we're going to close. So the light in me honors the light in you, and the
absolutely
love in me honors the love in you. Everyone, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. and for listening. We'll see you again next time. Call us at 1-800-930-2819. Thanks, great. Everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Cornelia.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.